I call the meeting of the House of Higher Education Finance and Policy Division to order. We do have a quorum present.
And then some.
If someone, pardon?
And then some.
And then some, yes. Before we take up our votes on the minutes, I want to welcome additional members to our committee today. There's been a lot of members involved in advocating for their constituents, and I want to thank all of our members for that and the ones that are our guests to our committee today. So thanks for everything people are doing to do the best we can to help our students in Minnesota. So anyone have a chance to look at the minutes? I'd like to get move someone to approve the minutes of April 10th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I'll move the minutes.
Oh, thank you, Representative Runbeck. She moves the minutes for April 10th, 2019. Is there any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion carries. Okay, so today we will be hearing public testimony on the closure of Argosy University. Over 1,000 students were enrolled at Argosy University Twin Cities when it shut its doors in March. Our goal today is to gather public testimony so that we can better serve the needs of our students, faculty, and families who continue to feel the impact of the closure of Argosy. We have a number of testifiers today, and I'm sure we will have questions from members as well. And I will ask everyone to keep their testimony to do it around 3 minutes if you can. I really appreciate that. You can do it less if you want, but I want to make sure we carve out as much room for everyone as possible. And then and that everyone gets a chance to speak. We are going to start with our Commissioner Dennis Olson of the Higher Office of Higher Education. Okay. Thank you, and welcome to the committee, Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, Dennis Olson, Commissioner of the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. Madam Chair and members, I had prepared some items to share with the committee, but I think it may be more beneficial to hear from other testifiers and just know that we are here to answer any questions that may arise. I will just note for the committee that the Office of Higher Education has been doing everything within our statutory authority to address student concerns, to broker relationships between the U.S. Department of Education and the various accrediting agencies and individual students, the institution, the receiver, and are truly going above and beyond to serve students. We held, as members of the committee may be aware, a transfer fair at the Office of Higher Education. We had issued over 1,000 transcripts for free to students, and really feel as though if we weren't brokering these relationships, nobody else would be there or be in a position to be doing so. And so we're really working on behalf of and making sure that we keep student needs central. And we do understand that this is an incredibly painful situation for many of the students in some significantly unique degree programs that are unfortunately still without relief. And so I just want the committee to be aware that we're doing everything within our power to assist and to broker those relationships. And so with that, Madam Chair and members, we will be here for any questions that may arise. And I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And we're going to focus mostly today on the public testimony. And then we'll have another hearing after we come back from break that will focus what we learned today and about legislation that's needed to move forward. And we have our expert from the Office of Higher Ed will be there, who is deep into this helping students. It's amazing what she's doing. We've had a meeting with her as Democrats and Republicans to understand this more, and she definitely knows her stuff, and you can tell she's an attorney and working hard at this. So thank you very much for being here. Okay, so we're going to start with Deb Arver. And if when you come to the table, if you could say your name and your affiliation. that would be helpful. I do not see her. I am wondering how the snow is going to impact our hearing today. People might have been able to get here, but maybe be concerned about getting home. So if she comes later, we'll just add her again. So Lynn McGovern. And then on deck, so they can be sitting in the front row, would be Tracy Kitching. Is Tracy here today? Okay, if you could sit in the front row, that would be great. Yes, thank you. Okay, and so you probably new people here today. I want you to feel welcome and comfortable. This is your house. We have, what we do is we talk through the chair so that I can state who's talking, and if a member asks a question, I state their name as well. Okay. So that the people that are listening at home will know who is talking. Okay. Because they may be only hearing this on audio, and so they won't know who it is. So just, Madam Chair, you say, and then your name and who you're affiliated with, and then you can start your testimony. And then when you're done, then I may call on a member if they have a question, and then they'll answer it. And if it's a question to you, then I will call on you to answer it, if that's helpful, how this works. And I want to make you feel comfortable. And if it doesn't go perfect, that's fine. And but we'll try our best so that people that are listening know who is talking. So thank you, and welcome to the committee. And it's Lynn McGovern, correct?
Yeah, Lynn
you
McGovern.
Could just state your name and your affiliation for the record.
I'm Lynn McGovern, and I'm the clinical coordinator of the veterinary technology program at Argosy University. I've been there for 12 years.
Well, welcome to the committee, and proceed with your testimony today.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about just what it was like being an instructor in the program, going through finding out basically 2 days, 3 days before something like that, you know, a closure of such a big program. We had 200 students in our program at the time, and I had over 20 students out on clinical training sites with little, you know, 2 days notice to try to shut down a program like that is really an impossible feat. And what all the, you know, faculty in our program and our program chair did to try to help these students is actually amazing. And it's just something that can't be done in that amount of time. We had students mourning, crying, as we're trying to not only clean out our veterinary department and make use of drugs and supplies that are going to expire and get those to charity organizations. We're also trying to work with our students that are out on clinical training and figure out how that's going to affect them, our students that are in the program, and it's just something that can't be done in that amount of time. There's no possible way to do it. So, you know, we did what we could do, and we continue to do that. I'm still helping students. I'm still working with clinical training sites that are emailing me and calling me, and what are we going to do now? We need students. So just the after effect of this is going to continue on in our profession, because now there's only one school in the Twin Cities, and it won't possibly produce enough veterinary technicians to fulfill the jobs that are out there. And so students are in limbo right now. There's no place for them to go. So we're looking at online options. So, you know, even though we didn't even get paid our last 2 weeks of service there, we're still working with students, and because somebody needs to do that, and I know the Department of Education is helping as much as they can too. And it would just be really nice if for other colleges in the future that go through something like this, that there was some way to prevent this. I just don't believe that they didn't know far enough in advance that they could have somehow warned us so that we could have expedited classes to get students through to do other things that would have helped students. I think there's things that could be put in place that would make things like this a little bit easier on everybody. So that's what I'm just hoping, that something like that could happen from this.
Well, thank you, Ms. McGovern, for your help for the students and what you did for them. This can be an emotional day. Somebody asked me if they could cry in their testimony. I said, well, if you do it, then I will too. So I think we all have our heart goes out to everyone who's been affected by this. And thank you for coming here and talking about and advocating for the students. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Tracy Kitching. And then up on deck is Catherine Smith.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your affiliation.
My name is Tracy Hyder-Kitching, and I am also a veterinary technology instructor at Argus University. I'm also a part-time, full-time student at Argus University in their doctoral program. Was. I don't have any words. I didn't prepare any words. I just wanted to freelance and it was a very difficult time. It was a very difficult time for me as an instructor, just like with Lynn. It was a very difficult time for me as a student. I dedicated 2.5 years into the doctoral program, only now to be told from other higher education institutions that 0 of my credits will transfer. That's over $40,000 of tuition. Not only tuition, but that's the time away from my family. The time I'm dedicating to my dream of being an educator. I am an educator, of course, but to be a doctor of education, that's my dream. And now I'm told that I might have to start over. I have no words. There's got to be something done to prevent this from happening again. Thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you very much. Wow, I didn't realize somebody would be an instructor and a student. You really got a double whammy on this one. I don't know if that's the best thing to call it, but it must be very hard.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. If any members have any questions, just feel free to raise your hand, and after they're done talking, we can call on you. Okay, so Catherine Smith. And then Courtney Ruckheim. Is Courtney here at all?
Yes.
Oh, good. Perfect. Okay, welcome to the committee, Ms. Smith. Please state your name for the record and your affiliation.
I'm Catherine Smith. I was a full-time employee in the vet tech department along with Lynn and Tracy. I was also the animal care coordinator and inventory manager, so I had a little bit more to deal with. I had, along with the students, helping them, trying to calm them down. We also had to deal with the animals that were there too. Being the inventory manager, I was in charge of getting food and supplies for our animals, and it got to a point about a month before the closure where they stopped letting us order anything. So we had to figure out how to feed our animals. And we did that with our own funds and by having fundraisers. So that was really stressful, along with everything else. And then the 2 days before we got the notice, hey, we're closing, you guys got 2 days to figure this out. We had to figure out what to do with all these animals. We had to get them adopted out, back to the rescue groups. And then, the poor students, not knowing where these guys are going to end up. Like Tracy and Lynn said, there's no options for them. There's one school that takes 20 students. They're saying they can't take anyone until fall of 2020. We have online options, but they're only taking like 10 credits, so some of these students that are halfway through the program have to start over. It's not fair to them. Some of them are traveling out of state to finish their program. They shouldn't have to do that. It's really sad to see this 40-year legacy die. So I got before I start falling.
Thank you for your testimony today. Yeah. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, I just want this to be prevented for the future, and hopefully we can start another vet tech program. If we're ready to go this fall, we could take all of our students on. We just need a school. I think that would be a really good happy ending to this. So thank you guys for doing this.
And you can just stay there for a moment. We have Representative Pryor who has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I know people are going to want to know, did you find placements for all the animals that you had?
Yes. Thank you. We got quite a bit of them adopted out, which was pretty awesome. And then a lot of them, or the rest that didn't, went back to their rescue groups. So
thank you.
Representative Cleavorn.
I have a question, please, if you don't mind, Madam Chair. You just said we could be ready to go this fall. Are the students, have they given you a list of their names and addresses so you would have a way of contacting them if we are able to?
Our program chair, Dr. Hansen, has been in contact with all the students.
Okay, so there's a listserv or some way for us to be able to reach out to the
students.
Quite possibly,
yeah.
Thank you very much. Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, and that was Ms. Smith and Representative Cleburne having a conversation there.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Courtney Ruckheim, and I'm hoping my German skills came in handy on that, but I'm not. Okay, and then April Barton. Oh, good. Okay, thank you, and welcome to the committee. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
I'm Courtney Ruckheim. I went to the Minnesota School of Business, actually, as a criminal justice student. I enrolled in April of 2014 in the St. Cloud campus, and I shortly after I enrolled, as I was enrolling, I understood that I couldn't be a police officer. They stated that to me right away, but my goals were to become a probation officer. They stated to me that with those goals, their program qualified with high job placement. So I continued, and shortly after I enrolled, they eliminated the criminal justice program. So ultimately, I was the very last student to graduate through MSB in St. Cloud. Shortly after that, as the other students started to graduate, I became the only student in the classrooms. And as that went on, they slowly started letting the instructors go. So then I got forced to do online. I don't learn online, so that's why I registered as a campus student. So after online started, they told me about the teach-out program and their articulation agreement through Concordia. When I tried to see if Concordia would take my credits, they would take none of my core classes, only my generals. And after I looked into that, there was nowhere else for me to go. And I was 4 months from graduating when they shut down. And I can't use any of it. I'm stuck paying on, I currently owe $43,000. And that's 2 years after they closed. And I've had no other options. So I'm 25 working in a cafe, trying to pay my bills and my student loans.
And I just want to know if this would be appropriate for Office of Higher Education to come up and talk now about the difference of what's happening to the students, or if we could just try to figure out with the Argosy students and the Minnesota School of Business. But just wait, let's call on Representative Franson first.
Thank you, and thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing her to tell her story on yet a different school. I work with Courtney, and she's been discussing this issue, and I see how hard she works with not only with the cafe. I work on the other side, the bar side, and she works on the cafe side, but, you know, she's very popular at the cafe, and our regular people love her because she's got such a cheery disposition. And then she also works at a group home, okay? And today, or when did I ask you? 2 days ago, I asked her if she'd be willing to testify, and she had to take off both days to come into to come and testify today, which also then puts a hardship on her because she does have these bills, these student loans to pay on something that she is not going to get all this time, all this schooling, and she wants, her and her boyfriend want to own a home, and it's tough right now, but thank you for letting her tell her story, and it's my hope that something can be done because these schools need to be held accountable for the devastation that they have put on so many of the students and the faculty.
I also have one more thing to
add. Oh, thank you, and please proceed, Ms. Ruckheim.
I was just going to mention, I've looked into loan forgiveness through my two different loan companies that I have my student loans through. Their criteria to get loan forgiveness, I all qualified for. Due to Minnesota School of Business stating that I withdrew from the campus, even though I was forced to quit because they didn't have any more programs available for me, They're telling the loan companies that I withdrew because their main campus didn't close until later, and since they used that as, I don't remember if it was a 150-day period, the loan companies won't even let me do loan forgiveness because of what the school is saying with that. I got one of them postponed in for a year, but I have to start paying on that in August again also, if nothing.
What I'm wondering is if we can exchange numbers with the Office of Higher Ed to make sure that when we're moving forward with our legislation, if there's something that could help in this matter as well, because they're two different things, but they impact people's lives nonetheless. So we thank you for bringing this forward, and Representative Franson for having her testify today. And sorry you had to take off work on top of this, but please safe travels, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. April Barton, and then Aaron Jones is on deck.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to committee. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is April Barton. I'm the Director of Student Services, or was Director of Student Services at Argosy for, I worked at Argosy for over 28 years. And so I've held a number of positions, and most recently in about the last 15 years or so, in the Director of Student Services. And this whole ordeal for everyone involved really is quite unbelievable. I still wake up every night thinking it's just a nightmare and I'm going to go to work again another day. But as somebody who has worked with the executive committee and was really should have been part of the top of knowing what was going on, I think it's important for you to know that even we were not in the know of what was coming down the path for our campus. We were told to continue as normal. We kept taking payments from students who were paying them. They were still being given bills that they owed money. We were still planning for the summer term. We were telling them, oh, your stipends are delayed. They will come, because that is the information that we were being given by our parent company, the Dream Center. So had we known differently, we certainly wouldn't have been asking students to pay on their bills, or anything that would put them in a negative position. Our students really are our number one concern all the time, as they were this whole time. Once we started the term as normal, and then January 18th occurred, I heard about our receivership on the news with everybody else, and went to work the day after President's Day, and our entire admissions office was laid off, all unknown to all of us. At that time, we were still told that the stipends would be paid to the students. So, of course, they were all calling, very upset and irate, and that is what my department and the finance department dealt with daily, was very upset students and very upset parents, what's going on, when we didn't even know really what to tell them. But to try to keep them calm, because our understanding was there are buyers, but things are in motion that need to take place so that we can continue. We don't want your education to be interrupted, and so we're just all doing everything we can for you to move forward. We then got in touch with us one way or another with the Minnesota Department of Ed, just as precautionary measures. We thought we want to do anything we possibly could do that could help our students should something bad happen. So if that wasn't the case, great, but we had this is not normal daily life. So if something were to go wrong that is unknown to us, what can we have in place for our students? So we started working with the Minnesota Department of Ed. They came and got some of our older files. We kept in touch with them daily. We started talking about if something bad were to happen and we're unable to continue, even though we weren't told that by our parent company at that time or anything in relation to that, what are some of the things that we should have in place for our students? So the Minnesota Department of Ed worked very diligently with my department in organizing files, taking all of our older files off campus that they could right away, talking with our chairs about in the event something negative were to happen, even though we were not told that that was going to happen, let's think about the worst case scenario. And our president, John Slama, at that time also kept us all informed of everything that he knew at the same time, even though people would say, how can you not know? You knew this. You know, students and parents would call every day telling us, you must know. We did not know. We were told we have buyers in place, we're in receivership, this is going to protect us, receivership protects us so that you'll get your financial aid and all those things. So when students then remain in school, they're unable to pay their bills, they're unable to pay their rent, they were calling saying they were going to be evicted, they can't feed their children, they were terrible stories that we were hearing on the phone day after day. All I could tell them was, if it's in your best interest to withdraw, you know, we at that time said anybody that withdrew this term would get a full refund because it wasn't within their means that they were choosing to withdraw. They were really put in a situation to do that, even though we were, you know, we have policies and procedures, but we had allowances then of to the best that we could do with the means that we had at that time to help those students. We were then told at a later time that any student who wanted to withdraw would be refunded. I don't know if that's true or not anymore, and I don't know what the financial situation is for that. But staff and faculty have not been paid our last pay period. A few of us stayed on for a few more days to organize all the files to get to the Minnesota Department of Ed. We went around the entire school, looked in every drawer to mark it as a place of protected information so that I assumed someone from our Dream Center was coming in to protect that information, say this is student protected information, this is protected by FERPA and things like that, and tried to keep those things as concealed as possible within the time frame that we had, which was only 48 extra hours. So that is the situation that I was in as a staff person. Do you have any questions?
We do have a couple questions from members. Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Barton, I would like to just ask you, you mentioned earlier that the students were calling for their stipends. And while I understand what it is that you were talking about, there may be members of the audience today who do not know what you're referring to. If you could just please clarify what you meant by that and what that would look like for your students.
Mm-hmm. The students that applied for financial aid.
Ms. Barton.
Sorry. Students who applied for financial aid who have that awarded to them. Some students have some extra monies that come along with that financial award to support them while the time they go to school. And those monies are to be released to them within 14 days of the term. And so they should have been in their bank accounts at a certain time frame when that did not occur.
Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Ms. Barton, I just want to make sure that we're perfectly clear. This is money that the students would have borrowed, that they would pay interest on, and it should have been given to them, and instead it was retained by Argosy. Is that correct?
Ms. Barton.
The monies, I understand, and I don't think I can speak specifically to that. I believe were dispersed, and they did not go to the students. Where they exactly went, I do not know. But it was money that the student did borrow, and they are paying interest on. They also take personal loans and self-loans that they did pay interest on. When that will not serve them for this spring term.
Okay. And just one more.
Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to say to you, thank you for the diligence that you paid to the students and the people that you have been serving. And I appreciate the fact that you contacted the Office of Higher Ed immediately upon realizing that something abnormal was occurring. So I just want to thank you for coming in and sharing your testimony openly with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a clarifying question to the testifier. She's been talking about the Minnesota Department of Education, and I'm wondering if she means the Office of Higher Education.
Right.
If that's who I just wanted to clarify that, because they are two separate agencies, and since there are lots of people here, just to make it clear that the Office of Higher Ed is the one, I believe, that's been assisting.
Ms. Barton, yeah, okay. And that would be the Minnesota Office,
the Minnesota
of, Higher
Office
of Higher Education,
yes,
right.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Vice Chair Pryor.
Thank you, Ms. Madam Chair. And Ms. Barton, if you could review the timelines again. So there was that point where students were saying the stipends wasn't deposited in their accounts, they weren't receiving their stipends, and then that's when you started getting questions, and then you said President's Day was when you were laid off, or staff was laid off?
Ms. Barton.
Mm-hmm. The weekend of President's Day, or it was January 18th, that Dream Center went into, or Argosy under Dream Center went into receivership. Mm-hmm. And I learned about that on the news that weekend. We had President's Day off, and there was no school that day. So Tuesday after President's Day, when we returned to the campus, is when the admissions department was laid off, also with a few other individuals, mm-hmm. administrative staff.
Vice Chair Breyer, do you have a
follow-up? And thank you, Madam Chair. And then you talked about the students being recommended they withdraw and then get a refund.
It wasn't recommended to students to withdraw. Really, we just gave them all the information that we had. Like if a student came in asking questions, excuse me, I just told them what I knew, and I would mm-hmm. say if you wish to withdraw, that's your decision. Mm-hmm. If you wish to stay, because I don't know if we will be here to the end of the term or the end of the summer, or there was no definitive information to tell them. So it was always, we'll give you all the information that we have, and those decisions then would be mm-hmm. up to you. We were told that new students that had started the spring term would receive a full tuition refund if withdrawing at any time of the term, not mm-hmm. just within our policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. But it was new students, and I did not state that earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Vice Chair Breyer.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And then just so it was the new students that had the information that they could withdraw and not have to use
Correct.
The usual dropout
Correct.
Time period. So those were the students that were withdrawing. And then were other students also withdrawing at that point, too? And that would have been after the news hit that the school was in receivership. Were a number of other students withdrawing or seeking that information and also withdrawing?
Ms. Yes. Barton.
Yes. Thank you. The number of students came in every day for information, and out of those every day, students would choose to withdraw. Mm-hmm. The policies and procedures state that when a student fully withdraws, then their tuition is calculated based on the time that they attended. Up to that point, then they would owe for that period of time and not after that. So the students who were not new students then would have been charged up to that point that they attended.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And if I can just
close
by saying thank you so much for the work that you did and for trying to help students. And we'll do whatever we can to try to pick it up from here, too. So thank you.
That would be really appreciated.
Okay. Other Representative Kwong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like staff, because of this testimony, staff to provide information as to what are the ramifications of withdrawing and the student aid, the loans, etc. What are the statutes covering? I'm assuming federal regulations and guidelines have a great deal of control. and then with the stipend portion of it, which was never intended for the schools, are there any special guidelines and directions that cover that, both state and federal, so that as we go on, we've got the framework of the legislation statutes existing and guidance. I'm a little bit confused by the testimony about advising, etc., because I assume that in the advice they would generally be giving, if you do withdraw, there's this impact on your student loan or your grant and those intricacies. And it might be nice to understand the reference guidelines the staff at Argos utilized when advising the students. So we know what the students were told, and then we also see what federal and state guidelines or regulations are. Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins, does that seem like a doable request? Do you have any clarifications or anything?
Madam Chair and members, yes, I can follow up with the committee with some information about the federal regulations regarding closed school discharge, which deals with discharge of federal student loans when an institution closes.
Okay. Representative Cleavorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Quam addressed some of the very same issues that I was also thinking about. The other question I have goes back to Ms. Barton. Did you understand? I realized that it was school policy that you were following. This is the procedure that we do when a student comes to us. I understand that. But did you understand at the time that you were asking students or giving them the option? That's a better way to say it. Giving them the option of continuing or withdrawing, did you know that that advice would also trigger this inability for loan forgiveness on their student loans?
Ms. Barton.
No, I didn't know what any of the ramifications would be because nothing had been talked about, or we didn't know that we were closing. We didn't have anything in place because nothing had happened at that time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's what I wanted to know.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony for being here today.
Thank you.
Aaron Jones, and then on deck is Pam Fontem. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and your affiliation and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Aaron Jones. I'm a student dental hygiene at Argus University. So I wanted to talk today just to kind of tell my story because I kind of feel like with all of the process, our dean got kind of asked to step back from the situation. And so I just feel like it's getting further and further away, so it's making it less personal if we get told no. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of want our stories to, like, be on record and be heard. So I'm Erin. We were seniors, about ready to graduate halfway through the semester. So the reason I want to be a dental hygienist is my ultimate goal is to have a mobile clinic to help the elderly population because, sorry, it's a very underserved population. There's a lot of programs for little children and in need people, and the elderly population to me is very underserved. We did a community outreach near our school where we went and taught them about care that they need if they have dentures, if they have partial dentures. We did one-on-one teachings if they needed it, and we reached out to other retirement homes or assisted living and about their level of dental hygiene knowledge or what they do for their residents, and they didn't have anything. There's nothing set up. I saw this firsthand with my grandma. She went in to assisted living with all her teeth, and they were brushing her teeth fine, and then 6 months, they stopped taking care of her teeth, and she lost the majority of her teeth. And it's just, I can't do anything to help her, but I can help somebody else's grandma. And so I just, sorry, kind of want you guys to know why we're doing this. We just, all we want to do is finish our degrees and help people. And so I guess, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Rumbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, How did you make the decision to go to Argosy? I've heard that they had great instructors in dental hygiene. So how did you make the decision? And then what has been happening with those instructors?
Ms.
Jones.
Jones, yes, thank you, sorry.
So I chose Argosy. One of my coworkers was a freshman, and she, I was looking at hygiene schools, and she's like, Argosy is awesome. This is a very good school. And then that was backed up by my mom's old nurse went back for dental hygiene. And so she had graduated Argosy and could not speak higher of our instructors. They are honestly like They're amazing people. They help us whenever we need it. They have been awesome with this whole closure. They have done everything in their power to possibly help us. We have got their personal phone numbers for anything. If they want to help us, Ms. Moeller, let us shadow her. If we wanted to, she's a periodontal hygienist. And so they now don't have jobs. They, while at Argosy, they have are kind of in the same boat that we are. Is they can't, and they love, all of them loved teaching us. So,
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Rumbach.
So, I mean, I guess the questions that I have, it's amazing there's only, had only been three schools in the Twin Cities. That's kind of the first observation. And, you know, I'm just curious about the process for evaluating the credits. I mean, we're hearing that the credits aren't transferring, so I'm just really curious. I mean, that ought to be at least an easy thing to do, where there's been accreditation and strong professors and so on. So I'm hopeful that that can be accomplished.
And that was that was our understanding, being part of this CODA, being accredited, that if something like this, like the whole point of the accreditation is to have kind of that back net, so you can be placed somewhere, another accredited institution that will help you finish your program. I understand that there's steps that need to be taken and all of this stuff, but we haven't been kept in the loop. We don't know what's going on. We haven't heard anything directly from CODA. And it's just in the Office of Higher Education is working the best, but it's just, we'd like to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, like what's going on, what can we do? We're all willing to help in any way possible. So,
and Madam Chair, just
yes, I'm Representative Rumbach.
I understand there's numbers of you that were set to graduate, and so certainly that group is, you know, somebody that we need to think it would be relatively easy to get something done. But were there others then that are in their first year yet?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's 35 of us seniors, and I believe 35 or 36 of the freshmen. So all of our seniors, all of the seniors that have taken the national board so far have passed. So we've taken our law test, the jurisprudence test that we have to pass. We've taken our national boards, and then the next test is the clinical test, the credits, or REB test, which is the cleaning of the teeth, and then we need to get our clinical hours and a certificate saying that we graduated. So we've done almost half of it. So we just a little bit more that we need to finish.
Thank you very much.
And Representative Rumbach, Representative Edelson led the charge on drafting letters from, and many of our members on our committee signed it, and other members as well, to ask CODA, who is the accrediting agency, to move quickly and to make you whole. So I want to thank her for that and all the members who signed on to that. So we're trying to put on pressure as legislators to a number of organizations. And Representative Edelson, can you just expand on all the letters that we sent to people, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the members, a letter was sent, and several of you were on the letter, so I thank you for that. What CODA meets twice a year, and so what we requested in one of the letters was to ask them to have an emergency meeting to get to be able to work with us to figure out how we're going to get these students licensed. And so, you know, the points that the students making is that they need an institution that they can say they graduated from. And so we're having that issue. And so we also sent a letter from this body asking the universities that actually have dental hygiene programs to accept their credits.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Okay. Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going through the American Dental Hygienists Association's letter, and they mentioned that there are two dental hygiene programs that have been contacted, that have contacted CODA about helping students complete their programs. And I on here it says that Century College is working with CODA to provide a pathway, but it has been proven difficult and unwieldy. Is someone here from either Century College or Herzing University that can speak a little bit more to that?
Yes, very good timing. We have President Melender from Century College, who would be a good time to have her come up and
thank
testify.
You, Madam.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Yes,
Madam Chair, I would like to just thank I'd like to thank Ms. Jones for her testimony. It was very powerful, and I don't want her to get lost in the shuffle. I just want to make sure we say thank you for her testimony.
Yeah, thank you very much. And welcome to our committee. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Chair Bernardi and members. Angelia Millender, president of Century College. I agreed to come here today because this is, to my being an educator and a lifelong educator, a tragedy of great proportion. And to speak directly to what Century is trying to do, we are regionally accredited, which allows us to take credits from accredited institutions, which is Argosy. The difficulty is when the students come from these what we call limited access programs and from programs that are program accredited like CODA and through the American Dental Association. To your point, member, is that CODA has been unwilling to work with Century to help these students. These students need one clinical. Is that correct? Thank you. They need one clinical. The problem is that we are not allowed to take advanced state-ranked students that come in and take one course under the accreditation. We have asked for a one-time exception to that, so that we could help these students complete. We are even willing to work with their instructors to hire them temporary so that they can work with these students through the transition over the summer and the fall to complete this one course. We have reached out to clinical agencies that provide these clinicals to students, and Century and Argosy had already have clinical agencies that we have shared for years. So the transition is very easy, and those clinical sites are willing to step up and help these students. The issue is the accreditor. If the accreditor would give us a one-time exception, the first barrier was they said that Argosy didn't give a teach-out to them for approval, and that is pretty standard, that when we know a program is going to close, whether the school stays open or not, we provide a teach-out to our accreditor, whether it's the regional accreditor, or in this case it would have been the regional accreditor and the program accreditor, if we were to close any program, whether it's dental hygienist or anything else. They indicated to us that Argosy had not done that. Well, that's a no-brainer that they had not done that. But we agreed to do it for them, to help these students to complete at Century. And that's all we need at this point, to have that accreditor move off of this position that does not align to how Century had set up its program to allow students to come in. I want everybody in this room to know, and those who aren't, Century is ready, we stand ready to help these students complete their programs. We have been engaged when we heard that this university was having some difficulties and might go into closure. My staff came to me and said, how can we help them? And we reached out and we've been on every call and worked with the Department of Higher Education to try to help these students. So to your question, students, it is the program accreditor and them not yet willing, and we hope they will after this, make some adjustments in their position to give us a one-time exception. This is out of the ordinary. We're not asking them to change Century's admissions requirements for dental hygienist students. We're simply asking them for a one-time waiver
allow us to prepare the teach out for these 35 students to say, this student needs this, this student needs this, and maybe all 35 of them need the same thing, which is my understanding from my program coordinator for dental hygienists. So whenever we get that direction, we are ready to move. We are ready to set up courses in the summer and an option for the fall for these students to complete. And we will take on the expense of that in order to help them to do so. Can't waive the tuition, but we certainly can help to work with the faculty who know these students rather than have our faculty to make a judgment about these students who they don't know, especially when they've had the relationship with these students more so than our faculty. So it will be a partnership, it will be a collaboration, and like I said, we are ready to do that. And I can answer any other questions that you may have at this time. I've been in this business way too long, and I know way too much.
Thank you for your comments, President Melender. Representative Cleveland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think my question was answered. I was going to ask about how long it would take for the students to really complete their program. We heard one student say she was just months away from graduating. Mm-hmm. But it's possible maybe then that student would finish at the end of the summer, and then you might
if
have
they
others.
Started in the summer, I would think that it would only be one semester left, and they could opt to finish that one semester in summer or finish that one semester in fall. And then it whatever the next step of that licensure or whatever assessment will be done in collaboration with their faculty and ours to make that recommendation for them to go to the next step and finish the process.
Madam Chair, one more second.
Representative Cleveland, and that was President Melender from Century College commenting.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm guilty of this. So. And Madam President, I would just like to thank you for your compassion and your empathy and for being willing to step up and come here today and let us know what it is you're willing to do. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Representative Kwong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not sure if the testifier knows or we'd have to go to staff. Or who is the authorizing or governing authority over CODA?
American Dental Association.
Okay, Representative Kwong.
So, frankly, you know, if the entity isn't responsive, then you need to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. I would think we would get the involvement of, you know, the Minnesota Association and any affiliates. I think that since we have some of the staff and people that have been with, you know, Argosy for sometimes decades, they would be able to maybe blow the dust off their Rolodexes. And that's for the youth. It's a written down type thing that we used in the old days. But basically, contact the dentists where they've done, you know, any, you know, student interaction or where they've hired, they've called up and said, you know, we need someone. And by having that involvement with, you know, the practitioners, you know, add pressure. Because as a legislature, we need to leverage. Mm-hmm. And, I like the intensity and enthusiasm. We just need to make sure all the players involved, you know, are brought to bear. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have it. Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you. And then I just was wondering the role. I was learned today that the U.S. Department of Higher Education might have some governance over CODA. So I don't know if there's a lifeline out there that confirmed that or not, but we just need to make sure that we involve them as well to hopefully influence them.
Madam Chair, may I respond?
Yes, President Melender.
I believe you're spot on because there is a shortage in Minnesota and probably outside of this region for dental hygienists. You have 35 students who can fill that shortage.
So to your point, that is leverage to get the dentist or whomever who need these workers to push for movement and action here. We can put 35 students into the workplace in a matter of a summer semester that starts in May, ends in August, the fall semester that starts in August and ends in December, within virtually almost a six-month period of time, to put those students in the job market, to fulfill the dreams that they talked about, to fulfill things that they want to do for their livelihood in the state of Minnesota. So to your point, I believe we have to look at that option as well. But we hope that someone steps up and sees that procedure should never stop us from doing the right thing.
That's right.
And that's what's happening here. We're trying to do the right thing. We should do the right thing. Everyone in this audience who's on this topic is a victim. They aren't the cause. And in order to be in a position to change that, we all have to step up and act. So I agree with you, member. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair Pryor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Melendred, thank you for your testimony. Really informative. I have two questions, and one is, could you explain to us what a teach-out is?
Yes.
You know, so that we understand this process better?
President Melender.
Yes. When students enter programs at different times, when they talk about their freshmen, their first-year students, their second-year students, their third-year students, and four-year students, fourth-year or ending students, depending on what program it is, whether it's 2 years long or 4 years long or whatever the prescribed time frame is. What we're supposed to do as educational institutions is to look at every student impacted by what decision you're getting ready to make. And what should have happened here is that the students should not have been left in a lurch. We should have, that institution should have looked at every student, no matter what program they're in, and prepared a teach out. Whether that was to contact Century or contact some other university and say, we're closing this program and we have students in process and this is how we're going to teach out. For the most part, this occurs organically within the organization, and the organization is still performing as an institution, so you would be still open so that you could complete the teach out. Normally, we are not supposed to stop offering the program. We can close it to new students, but we should not close it before all those students are given an opportunity to complete the program through the teach out.
Thank you. And one more quick question. We talked about the dental hygienists. Also, we know there's other programs, the vet tech. Is there also the same kind of pressure being applied so that those students can also finish? Do you know?
Well,
President Melender.
Yes. I can't say that I know that Century doesn't have a vet tech program, so I would not want to speak out of term in that area. But I do know that some of the other creditors, like Rad Tech, Radiology Tech, and other programs, is easier to transition, and those accreditors are willing to give us the allowance we need to take that credit and bring it in. Like I said at the beginning, Argosy was regionally accredited, so there shouldn't be an issue, as a student said, for course transfer or taking on their credits in areas where course happens often, and that's general education. In these career and technical programs, that's where it gets a little bit more difficult, but it can be worked out with a good conversation and a willingness to move the change.
Thank you. Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry, a little bit off topic, but just want to say there's some great things going on in our Minsku schools and obviously at Century College under your leadership, and you're amazing, been amazing over there and doing wonderful things, and prove it again today, and the rest of you can't have her.
Right.
Thank you for your work.
Yes, and thank you for your leadership.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Lilly. Thank you.
And President Melender, do you have any closing remarks?
I would only hope that this ends well for our students. Whether they're enrolled in Century or not, they're all our students, and we care and we take care of students who are trying to make a better way for themselves in this world. Mm-hmm. And it's no greater honor to continue to do the work that I do in education. And it's not about me. It's about the students that we impact every day. So we stand ready. You can call on me at any time and to help inform some of the questions that the committee may have, since I know too much, as I said before, but I'm willing to impart that wisdom. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your leadership, President Melinder. Okay, so we have Pam Fonda and then Jan Osweiler on deck. And welcome to the committee. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the committee for having us today.
Sometimes it works to take a couple deep breaths, and so you can just pause for a moment and just...
Thank you.
Yes, because I know what it feels like when you...
My name is Pam Fontem. Okay. I'm here today, on behalf of my husband, Joan Fontem, who was a student at Argosy University. Joan had 6 weeks left. Oh my God, I'm gonna stop. Jerome had 6 weeks left of school. He was in the medical lab sciences department. 6 weeks. That's it. So we found about it in, I think, March that he may be closed. And we were reassured, don't worry, I think we're going to be able to go through May. You're going to be able to finish your program. So he continued going to classes. He works full time. He was doing school on the side. He was doing all of his, we did homework the very last day. And then we found out that it was closing. We were then reassured, don't worry, you had 6 weeks left. You had one class left. We will find a teach out program for you. So again, we waited. We came to Argosy the last 2 days. We spoke with the Department of Higher Education, continually reassured we would find a teach-out program. We were informed to come up to North Hennepin Community College for a program for a transfer day. So we both took the day off work and came and met with St. Cloud State University and the U of M, only to be told that they were not going to do a teach-out program, that in order for him to graduate from one of those classes or programs, he would have to take an additional year of schooling and have to drive to the cities. We live in Lake City. That is in rural Minnesota, an hour and a half south of here. So that was not an option. So to keep in mind what this is meaning to us, Jerome has already paid $30,000 to Argosy University. Yes, we've talked about discharges, so the last semester was discharged, the last semester's loan, but he still has $30,000 in debt that we cannot use at this time. In addition, when he would have graduated, he would have received a raise. So he will be losing at least $14,000 if he has to go an additional year of school. So again, we continue to look for a teach-out option for the Medical Lab Sciences Department. We found a school, Weber University, which is in Utah, which was considering it. But we just heard back from them yesterday that he would be required to take 31 credits. Mm. Keep in mind, he was in his very last class of 3 credits. Mm. He would now have to take 31 credits, And at a cost of $278 a credit, that's another $8,618 we will have to pay in addition to a year's worth of time. We did hear from another school, Thomas University in Georgia, who has told us that they are willing to do a teach-out. The school has reached out to the Minnesota Office of Higher Education and has not seemingly been able to work out a plan. They also reached out, Thomas University reached out to the accreditation committee, or accrediting board that accredits the lab sciences, and was told that a teach-out program would be fine for their accreditation. So we reached out again to the Office of the Department of Higher Education, and to my understanding, they have not come to an agreement of how a teach-out can occur. So we continue to wait, not knowing if we should go ahead and go to Weber University and pay another $10,000, because frankly, we're tired of waiting. I mean, I know it just happened, but do we wait another semester and have another $7,000 worth of wages lost? That's my question. I don't know what can happen in order to help facilitate this teach-out. He needs one class, and he currently works in a lab, so all of his clinicals are done. He needs one class. He needs an advanced chemistry class in order to be able to finish his degree. So thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And he had 6 weeks left. We're going to do our best to try to make this work out. Representative Haley, did you have a comment to make?
Thank you for allowing me to join my constituent at the testimony table. I'm just here to offer her support. And Pam and I have worked together on other issues. She's an advocate for the American Cancer Society. She's a nurse. She brings high school students to the Capitol to help them learn the legislative process and testify on the smoke-free legislation. So it's heart-wrenching, as you all know, to get calls from constituents when you can't help. And we have been trying out of my office to navigate this and help Pam and her family, and have reached the same dead end that she described. So I just needed to sit here today in outrage that this is happening and hope that all of us can help families like Pam figure this out. One class. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony today.
Thank you.
We have now Jan Ostweiler and then Sarah Groom on deck. And just, I didn't see Sarah move yet. Oh, she moved up front. So is Jan Ostweiler here? Okay, well, we'll go to Sarah Groom. And if Ms. Ostweiler should be coming, then we'll add her back in. And then Callie Roberts is on deck. And if Callie happens not to be here, then it's Sarah Kretschmar. Hopefully I got it right. Okay, hello and welcome to our committee. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. My name is Sarah Groom, and pardon me for reading, but I didn't want to get lost, so I prepared something to say, and also thought I was going to have 5 more minutes to calm myself down. So I just wanted to say, first, thank you for this opportunity. I have gone by many titles. I'm 37. A woman, I've been a restaurant manager, a soldier, a bartender, a phlebotomist, and yes, a former Argosy student. While I do not choose to define myself solely on this experience, it is definitely one that has come with lasting consequence. I am not here to whine or complain. However, I believe it is important for the people in your position to be well informed of the effect the Argosy closing had on its students. Before starting Argosy, I had security, a good paycheck, insurance, and a 401k. Had I decided to stay in the industry, I would have undoubtedly been promoted. I would have had a promising career in front of me. However, I chose to take a risk and go back to school because while I did love serving people at the restaurant, I knew I could do more. I wanted to do more. So I jumped onto the good ship Argosy, or so I thought. Unfortunately, Argosy seemed to more closely resemble the Titanic, and if any of you are familiar, Charlie Dottori, who is a member of the receiver's company, referred to Argosy as just that in February.
As a result, I not only missed out on the income I would have had from my former job, but the future salary I hope to be earning within a year, my student stipends, and hours of time studying to maintain my straight A average. What outsiders do not understand are the consequences beyond just the heartbreak of our school closing. Not only did students put their heart and soul into this program, but we also planned our lives around the outcome. My lease was timed to coincide with my clinical experience. I was supposed to go to South Carolina in September, so my lease ends August 31st. I cut back on hours at work, as suggested by the faculty, and I put my whole life outside of school in second place, or completely on hold, just to ensure the best outcome for my studies. And I am left with nothing but debt, hours upon hours of wasted time, elevated anxiety, and rifts in my personal relationships. As far as the financial facts, I'm relatively lucky compared to some. Most of my loans were federal and could be forgiven since due to the nature of health sciences, the majority of the credits don't transfer. Some local schools, such as Century, St. Kate's, and Dunwoody, have all tried to offer different transfer pathways. However, Century involves a series of test outs for every class that we've had. St. Kate's involves some extra classes that are specific to their program. And as far as I know, Dunwoody, I don't think is taking anything but generals. I'm not 100% sure on all of those. But because Argosy was WASC certified and most of the other programs are JCert, it's impossible to the timeline, everything like that, they're just completely different. So fortunately for me, my general education credits are from another institution. Therefore, if I do the total loan forgiveness, the closed school discharge, I don't lose anything but my core classes. Which is why I say that I'm kind of lucky. I still have my English and all of those kind of things. I have been told, though, that I am still responsible for my state loans that I never received from the Minnesota Self-Loan Program that we referred to briefly, which is state-issued, and they're bond-secured loans from the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. I saw the legislation that's in place, and you have no idea how thankful I am for that. But the state loans I took out were additional because we were told I was going into RP2, which is the most difficult semester in the radiology program. So I was told either don't work at all or work very limited hours. So not only that, but I was our former program chair asked me to be the program tutor. And when the receiver came in, he cut the funding for that program along with many other programs. And so I kept getting told, maybe next week, just keep waiting, it'll happen. And so that was going to be an additional income that I would have and was supposed to be very helpful to the students because they put physics online. I don't know if you have ever taken physics, but physics online, probably not the best idea. Anyway. However, I'm lucky. I didn't pay out of pocket. I didn't take personal loans. There's absolutely no recourse for those students except for trying to sue a bankrupt company. Can't get blood out of a stone. And while all of this is infuriating, I think the lack of information and transparency about the situation was the most troublesome. DCEH, the receiver, the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education, and the Office of Higher Education all knew there was a problem at least a month before spring semester even started. Nothing, zero, was communicated to the students. The students could have applied to other programs, even as just a safety net, and met application deadlines. But instead, we're all stuck here waiting months for a possible opening. And I do not blame any of the schools. You have your own students. It's not your job to make a home for us, and we appreciate everything that you're doing. But even after the semester became, we were misled or outright lied to by Mr. Mark Dottori, who was our receiver, and DCEH. I do not believe the faculty had any more information than any of us as students. In fact, some of us students who did our own investigations, I think, were more informed than a lot of the staff. our best source of information. The Minnesota Department of Higher Education put up a website for us that was regularly updated with information, so we had at least some idea what was going on, at least to their knowledge. But many students were completely caught off guard. There were many students that had no idea, even up until May 7th, March 7th, that anything was happening. It seems like DCEH and Mr. DeTore were doing their best to keep as many of the students hostage as possible, which led to us being in limbo, basically. For those of us that had done our research, we knew there was little hope that the semester would continue. We knew that we were probably not going to make it until May. However, we also knew that if we had looked into the closed school discharge, that we had to be enrolled within 120 days of the school closure in order for us to qualify for any sort of legal recourse or loan cancellation. We were stuck. To say it was stressful, gross understatement. Every day going to campus felt like repeatedly being punched in the stomach. It was horrible. I can't begin to describe. I became a not really nice person to be around. Anyway, I have tried to keep this as focused as possible and focus on facts and my personal experience, rather to just stand up here and give you an angry diatribe of speculation and what I think actually happened. Obviously, I'm very passionate about this, and I am so excited and thrilled that I finally have an audience to address that can do something about this. So I sincerely appreciate your time and your consideration, and that's all.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Breyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. And we are, you know, we appreciate your public testimony and then also allowing us to ask questions so we can understand it better. So what you described, you did your research, and as you said, you knew more than some faculty members did. So what was the information that you researched and found out? How is it available that you saw the writing on the wall?
Ms. Groom.
There were court documents on the website for the receiver's company. There was a DCEH layoff thread. There were the articles throughout. You could Google Argosy, and there was a new article out there normally every 48 hours or so, if not more often, and they led to statements. One of the most disgusting as far as making me angry was Studio Enterprise Management. They responded to Mr. DeTore in one, and it's, I think, a 30-page court filing. And if you are, if you get bored and want to be angry, I recommend reading that.
Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And because of this testimony, any of the information that we receive as a committee and for us in distribution that would be useful to the people that testified and the people in the audience, I think we should try and work together for a email chain just to, if nothing else, you understand that we're working on it. It's not going to be a, quick easy. And so whatever, I assume there are leaders in the audience that are already doing that sharing, maybe the staff could have a confab after and make sure that we have that connection and communication. And again, anything that we could share as we get it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, so we're fortunate that our committee our PLA happens to be, she's educated as an attorney, and she was in on these meetings. And would you be able to share what you learned at one of the meetings?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, members. As far as the contacts that we have with the Attorney General's office, the statement that they provided and that we put in the folders is all we can say right now. There's some type of limitations with ongoing investigations, so we're very limited as to what we can put out to the public and to everyone else. And then as far as what we're working on, or you guys, excuse me, are working on as a committee, that's why these are public testifiers and public meetings, so that's very transparent as to the next steps that we're going to be taking.
Okay, so what I think I just learned through information here, and Representative Quam, thanks for bringing this up, our committee administrator has talked with the Office of Higher Ed, and we can gather names that hopefully we'll be able to communicate with. We have to make sure that we can. And then also the Office of Higher Ed can have them, because there's a lot of data practices issues, and so it's important that the Office of Higher Ed actually has your information. Otherwise, they can't communicate with you because they, as I understand, because they can't, Argosy can't give them the data of the information of the students to communicate with them. I may be over base here, but I think it would be helpful to get, if people would like to sign on with our pages, onto a list that we could have their information. Is that, I'm doing a life, I'll get the Commissioner Olson down here to do the best way to do this. Welcome back, Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As far as sharing students' contact information, we already have all of the Argosy student contact information and have been in contact with students multiple times, but we are highly sensitive to all the data privacy rules, particularly under FERPA. And so we will look at the best way to potentially share information. We certainly could do it in the aggregate or be a middle between the committee and students. But there is some specific rules on what we can share, and that includes even contact information. But just know that because of our closed school protocol, which was initiated once we originally learned, we were able to obtain all of the student contacts and transcript information and all related.
So do you, maybe our staff, what's the legal advice for us today collecting names of people that want to sign up if there's possibility of communicating with them on our part as a committee? Okay. Right, yeah, we could have them sign up for our listserv and to let them know about all future meetings and stuff. So pages, if they could pass that out to get the information, that would be good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I know there's members that have committee meetings after this as well, and we have 10 more people that have signed up to testify, and I do want to hear their stories. And so I just want to let everyone know that if members leave, it's not because they don't care. They have commitments to be at another committee. And what I would just like to ask the testifiers, if they could try, if we did 2 to 3 minutes, and let's say everybody went 3 minutes, and then you never know, members might have a question, that would put us to almost, without any questions, if everyone did 3 minutes, it would push us to almost 4:30. So I would just ask testifiers if they can to limit their comments to like 2 minutes if they can, if they prepare remarks and just feel really strongly that they have to use that 3 minutes. I don't want to cut somebody off. And just I will stay here till the end, and whoever members are able to, they will. But please don't be offended if they leave for their next commitment. Okay, thank you. Welcome to the committee. Is it Callie Roberts?
Yeah.
Thank you. State your name and affiliation, please.
My name is Callie Roberts, and this is my mom, Sherry. First of all, we just want to thank you guys for signing that letter to CODA and sending that out. That's really made a difference, and we really appreciate that. So I was in the senior dental hygiene. We had about 6 weeks left when the school shut down. What I want to focus on today is the lack of communication and how quickly this all happened. It's probably about, since the beginning of the semester, no one was really aware that the school was going to shut down. We didn't really think it was an option for them to just shut down. We didn't think that was, you know, possible. And I remember about 2 weeks out, the instructors told us we need to start taking our stuff home when we left. So every day when we came back, we didn't know if we were going to have class. You know, we didn't know on Monday if the schools were going to be open or if it was going to be shut down. Thankfully, to our amazing instructors, we were able to finish our academics, which just leaves us to about 100 clinical hours left. I've emailed CODA multiple times asking them questions, you know, seeing what the deal is, where we are left at, and the only response I get is a generic response saying, directing me to OHE, which sort of makes us feel like we're a piece of paper and that we're not human beings and they don't care about what we're going through. My understanding is that CODA's next assigned meeting is in July or August, and then at that point they will sort of go through what our options are, which leaves us months, you know, when we were expected to graduate, if they even find a school for us to graduate, which is really heartbreaking. One thing I really want to mention is a petition that our class has started on Facebook. One of our class members started, and we already have about 4,000 signatures on it. We are planning on sending it to CODA just to really push them to make this a priority and that we need to get finished. We were supposed to graduate May 1st. That's 3 weeks away. Everyone had plans to start a new chapter in their life. No one knows if we're going to graduate at this point. We can't even get jobs. You know, we're at home. We don't know what to do. It's day by day. We're waiting for someone to contact us, and it's not fair. It's not fair at all. We have 100 clinical hours left. It's not much. We just need a school. A school has stepped up. We need CODA. We need CODA to let us finish up. So the main thing that I really want to get across is that we just need CODA to get a plan approved so we can move forward and finish our degrees. And we want to thank you guys for your time and everything that you have done to make this possible.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And you have someone else at the table with you. Is this for moral support or the next person on deck?
This is my mom.
Aw, welcome to the committee. It's nice to have a team. Not everybody has that in their life. Did you want to make a couple
briefly,
comments?
Yes. By me. Yes. My name is Sherry Roberts. We live in Edina. A couple things that have not yet been touched on, I believe. We were cash pay. We have no option. We will not be getting the 50-some thousand back. At this point, we are so close to retirement, we won't be able to provide that for her if this doesn't go through. The other issue I have, briefly, how did we get to this point? Who was not monitoring? Where was the Department of Education? The figures are out there nationwide. What is it, 13 or 16 million is due? Stipends, financial stipends have been taken by this university. 1.38 million of that is in Minnesota. Reports are suggesting that if Dream Centers discharges these loans, it will be $500 million on taxpayers. I do have, and I don't know if you've received it, I did some research, a letter that 13 U.S. senators have sent to Betsy DeVos. It was sent on March 8th, hoping for a reply on the 20th, outlining why did this happen at Argosy, how could this been handled differently. She, as of yesterday, I contacted Senator Klobuchar's office. She has not responded. My opinion, every student here should send a letter to Betsy DeVos and ask her, where is my future, because you have taken it from me. That's all I have to say. Appreciate all of your efforts.
Yeah, thank you so much for your testimony. And I know you've had a representative on your side, too.
So yes, we have.
You got a good team thanks. There.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Sarah Kretschmar. I'm wondering if I did well. I did have German for 3 years, but I don't know if I did it.
It's good.
Yeah, how do you? I can't wait to hear how you say it.
It's Kretschmar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jen, is it Mueller on deck? Okay, thanks. Okay, welcome to the committee. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee. My name is Sarah Kretschmar, and I was a second-year student in the dental hygiene program at Argosy, Twin Cities, and in the same boat as some of the other people that you have heard from as well, 6 weeks away from graduating and being done. Many of us had jobs already lined up that have now had to be told that we no longer qualify. They don't have those job placements for us anymore. This past semester was going to be one of the hardest for us because we were going to be taking our national board exams, jurisprudence, and then also clinical exams in order to apply for our licensure in Minnesota. I have a really hard time testing, so I quit my part-time job at the beginning of this semester, figured out financially what I needed to do, and planned accordingly in order to pay my bills until the end of this semester. I was supposed to receive $3,500 in stipends, which I did not receive, and have now been scrambling and begging places that I owe money to hold off on that, which they don't understand, and it's been very difficult. And as a total, for me, not even having this, or having the spring semester forgiven, I'm still over $50,000 in debt, and that will start kicking in September that I will have to pay, not having the job, being paid that I was being told that I was going to have. It's been very hard trying to find a part-time job because I can't apply for the job that I wanted to be applying for at this point. Basically, entry-level, small jobs. This is my second career in life. I had another career for the past 10 years, good paycheck, owned a home. Plans changed. I wanted to make a different path for myself to better my situation, and that's why I went back to school. It took me 3 years to talk myself into going back to school because I know the sacrifices and having to pay back those loans, what that all entails. What's been frustrating for me as a self-supporting adult is being told to sit and wait for months with no answer. I don't know if I'm going to be going back to school anytime soon. I don't know if I'm going to be finishing. I don't know if I'm supposed to be looking for a job or wait. And just the lack of transparency and communications that my classmates and I received through this whole process has been completely disheartening and useless. We were told we were going to be getting weekly updates from the Office of Higher Education. We have not. I feel like we have to hound them, and when we do, we just get short, abrupt, automated responses. I don't know how to plan the rest of my life from here, as I don't even know if I'm going to be able to graduate. And now I'm tens of thousands in debt with no answer, very little response from COTA or OHE, and I don't know. I'm at a loss. I don't know where to go from here.
Right. Well, thank you for your testimony. I don't see any questions. We have a change of plans. We were planning to go till 4 and was hoping to be able to wrap up by 4:30. We do have an agreement with the caucuses that we will not be meeting for hearings between until 6:30 tonight. And so we're going to honor that, and we're going to go into recess and come back at 6:30, and we will hear the testifiers that have signed up, and if anybody else that would like to stay and testify, they would be able to testify before our committee with that. Representative Poppy.
Madam Chair, can I just respectfully ask that we talk to our leadership on both sides and say this is an important topic, and people aren't going to be able to travel
especially
at 6:30. No. So I think we can give another 15 minutes of time. Thank you.
Okay, well, we would need, okay, this is how we're going to do it. If I would make a recommendation. Our leadership is, wants to honor that with the Republican caucus. If Representative Norna, as the chair, can reach their caucus leader and get the approval, then we will continue. Otherwise, we will need to recess. Otherwise, I have to recess now.
I'm not sure that's our caucus starts at 4:30.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're within the time limit.
Okay, so would that be everybody like to try to get out by 4:30 and we get home safely? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to have you guys, I have to have y'all testify for hopefully just, okay, we have six, let's do this together as a team. We have 2, 4, 6, 8 left. If people did 2 minutes, that's 16 minutes. And that gets us to
close to 4:30, not quite. It gives the questions if we need it and if anyone else wants to testify. So we're not going to, I guess we're just not going to do questions. If member, yeah, we'll get everybody on the record and give you 2 minutes. And if somebody else wants to do math and figure how we can get to finish by 4:30 and give people more time, they can do that. I just can't lead a meeting and do my math at the same time. Okay. So welcome to our committee. And this is Jen Moeller.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair and the committee, for listening to us. My name is Jen Moeller, and my students know me as Ms. Moeller. I was a clinical instructor at Argosy University. It was an absolute dream of mine to become a clinical instructor. And so I've had the privilege of achieving that dream. And the one thing that I do want to say is that this issue is so diverse. And if I could urge the committee to focus their attention on one thing to begin with, would be to try to bring the barriers down to get these students a plan to graduate. The problem of loans, their lives, their heartache will go away if we can put this into action to get these students into a school or a program or the clinic, whatever the teach out was, to be able to move forward and get the hours that they need. I don't have a job anymore. I lost the job that I loved, and I will work for free to see these students graduate. I have 3 days a week to do it now. I love my students with all my heart, and I want to see them graduate. My heart aches for them. They're awesome students. And every day that goes by makes it harder and harder for them to enter the workplace. It's imperative that we get these students into the Teach Out program so that they can finish their dreams. They must be put on track. The only way they're going to do this is if they practice. This is why they call it practicing hygiene. They need to get in there and they need to finish their hours so that they can go out there and be confident in helping this community, in helping this state. And I implore you to start there for our students, for my students. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Moeller. And you do the teaching profession, make them proud. And we appreciate what you're trying to do for your students. Thank you. Okay, so we have Emily, I'm guessing it's Schaffer. Oh, okay. I don't have Deb's name on here. She's here. Okay, this is one that we said we'd get back to. Welcome.
I apologize. We were a little bit late because of the weather and traffic.
We definitely have to stay to our 2 minutes because I didn't divide by that many numbers.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I am the proud dental hygiene director of these wonderful students that are looking so desperately for...
Please say your name and affiliation for
the record. Deb Arver.
Okay, thank you.
We have 35 students that need to finish. The way this whole thing happened was absolutely incredible. It happened so fast. We were instructed as program chairs to not contact the accreditors. It had to go through the correct channels at the end when we felt that things were starting to go downward. And so we weren't able to get a teach-out program put together for them. But immediately after the school closed on March 8th, I was so very lucky to be contacted by Tracy Cuny at Century College. Together we worked feverishly to put together a teach-out program, and we presented it to the Commission on Dental Accreditation, CODA, on March 20th. It was a Wednesday. They turned that program down because they said that we had not, Century College had not followed the correct channels to bring it into action. And it was a huge setback because, as many of the students are talking about, skills, the minute you get out of, you know, with the skill that you're in, you begin to lose your skill. So it was put together in hopes that the students would almost be finished by now. So again, as Dr. Melander mentioned, I'm really asking you to ask CODA to accept this teach-out program so that we can get all of these wonderful students in the community to help all the patients that need their help. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, so we have, maybe I'll get it right, Emily Schaefer with us. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name's Emily Schaefer. I was one of the senior class in the dental hygiene program at Argosy. So I just wanted to thank you guys for giving us an opportunity to speak and tell our stories. I just wanted to personally stress the financial devastation of this school closing. When I first enrolled at Argosy, I was told that because I had been going to school, I was going to college a few years prior to this, I had used all of my federal direct unsubsidized loans prior to enrolling, so I was required to pay out of pocket and for the majority of my tuition. So with the help of one of the financial aid advisors at Argosy, I created a monthly payment plan to pay for tuition. And after the school closed on March 8th, I canceled the auto payment through my bank, and I have been receiving multiple emails expressing that I am still being required to pay the large amount of tuition that I have left that was for the semester that I didn't get to finish. So I just wanted to ask you guys to do everything you can to support us, and I appreciate everything that you've done so far. It really means a lot that there are people who are trying to help us. So that's all I have to say.
Yes, thank you for your testimony today. We have next up is Mary Swenson, and then Brian, I'm going to guess Holfs, but I may not be right. Is Mary Swenson in the house? Okay, then how about Brian Holfs? Hates, okay. If that's German, I would have never have known that. An O-E is an A. Huh?
Right.
Okay, I learned something new. That's good. Thank you, and welcome to the committee. And Ann Gibson is on deck. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Dr. Brian Hafes. I am the Veterinary Technology Program Director for Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College. And I'm here on behalf of, my heart just breaks for all the students that have gone through this disaster. My affiliation is with a veterinary technology program, but also as a veterinarian. We're in a crisis right now in the veterinary community with regards to paraprofessionals to assist in the field. We're in a long-term crisis for veterinarians, actually, and part of the fix of that is to allow for more paraprofessionals to assist veterinarians to get quality care out there. We have a huge void that just occurred because of the Argosy closing. So 200 students that will not make it into the applicant pool. Prior to that, we had other schools that had closed, so there was already a void. We're looking at a crisis that's become very acute. So I'm imploring you to help these students complete their programs and then help programs continue. We're limited with the number of vet tech programs in the region, and we're hungry for more veterinary technicians to fulfill positions out in the industry.
Well, okay. Well, thank you for your testimony today, all the way from Wisconsin. Thank you. Although you might live in Minnesota, we don't know that you live in Wisconsin.
I'm just across.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. thank you. I believe it was Dr. Hayes. Okay. Ann Gibson. And then up next is Gwen Valtius. Okay. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Gibson.
Madam Chairperson, members, thank you so much for taking the time to hear these students and faculty's stories. again, Ann Gibson, faculty, clinical faculty at Argosy University up until recently. And I guess in the short duration of time we have left, what I'd like to emphasize is that for these dental hygiene students in particular, they were literally weeks away from their graduation. They were finished with their didactic requirements, their academic requirements. They are down to just clinical hours. And the only thing standing in the way of them completing that is that CODA, the Council on Dental Accreditation, is dragging their heels and refusing to look at very viable options that these students could get completed, graduate, and become licensed professionals serving your communities. And that is the crux of the matter at this point for these students.
Oh, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
And for all, I just want to say for all the teachers here, if I didn't say that, and instructors, we thank you for your service to our students. Gwen Veld Hughes, I'm waiting to figure out if I said that right.
Veld House.
Oh, house. It's a house. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
You're welcome to the committee and state your name and affiliation for the record.
Gwen Veldhaus, adjunct faculty at Argosy University. Our students have worked so hard, and they're so close to graduation. I just implore you that this teach-out must happen, and that if you can get CODA to please approve this, we would be so grateful. And they need this, and they need your help. And thank you so much for listening to us today.
Oh, thank you very much for your testimony. Representative Poppy, did you have, like, a really brief question? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just reading the WSCUC, which is the accrediting body for Argosy. And according to their statement, they said on March 17th they withdrew the accreditation, but they will continue it through May 12, 2019 for the exclusive purposes of, one, issuing degrees to students who are in their final term, provided Argosy faculty certifies those students as completing their degree requirements, and two, for providing students with access to academic transcripts. And I'm just wondering if, you know, I know we're looking at CODA and trying to do some things, but perhaps there's a way for us to try to fix part of this for those students that are in their final term and getting close to being able to graduate. If we, and I don't know if the OHE has, there probably aren't answers today to that, but it seems as though if we've got until May 12th to be able to try to get these students their 100 hours in, maybe that's part of what we should be looking at as a solution. Thank you.
Okay, so ma'am. What I'm going to do on that question, it's a good question, I'm going to put that in the parking lot for right now. Make sure we get through our public testifiers, and we can get to that with OHE offline, or if we have 2 minutes at the end, they could respond. But we definitely need to look into that. Thank you for bringing that up. Linda Thompson, and then Shelley Babasek, and then somebody else in the back wanted to speak on behalf of the freshmen, I heard. So come on down. And
could you repeat?
That's it? Okay. Okay, so. Okay, did you want to testify? Okay, so who, did I say any names that anybody is here? Did I say their names? Nobody's here than the names that I said. Okay, so you get to testify next, and then if somebody else would like to testify in the minutes remaining, that we can welcome them down too. Welcome to our committee and state your name and affiliation for the record.
Kelly Murphy. I'm in the freshman cohort at Argosy in the dental hygiene program, and we're facing issues with CODA as well. Herzing offered us an opportunity to try to test in 7 spots in to start in the summer, and then we got a phone call about a week ago saying that CODA said we can't do that because they won't hold a meeting, and then they're waitlisting all of us. A lot of us are in a lot of financial debt. Me personally, I used my GI Bill benefits for Argosy. As far as I understand, I cannot retake classes and use those GI Bill benefits again, so I lost out on all of those. A lot of my classmates paid out of pocket. The other schools will not accept our transfers. They're telling us we have to start over, and that includes prerequisites as well. I've contacted 5 schools in state and out of state, and every single one has told me I would need to go through the regular admissions process to start over. I apologize, I did not have this prepared, so this is very impromptu. So I think that is all I have to say.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify before we conclude today? Okay, Representative Lean has a question, and then we'll move to the have OHG come down and answer Representative Poppy's question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my line of questioning is along with what Representative Poppy had said. I see we have a press release from the Office of Higher Ed that they want to look into some of the financial aid issues. I think we also should be looking at some of the credit transfer issues and just how we can help there. But in addition to that, I'd just like to hear from the office, and I don't know if we can have a complete answer today, but what can we do to prevent this from happening again? I mean, are there certain accreditation checks that we can put in place, whether it's through agency rules or new state statutes? I know they have to go through with the Higher Learning Commission in Minnesota or other parts of the country. There are other higher ed accreditation entities. I think that needs to be a part of this conversation, because this shouldn't happen again. I mean, this is people paying tens of thousands of dollars that they're not going to see any benefit from, and that is just wrong.
Exactly. So we're going to do legislation that we end up moving forward. It's going to be in two parts. One is the emergency legislation that we need to get done immediately, and then we'll need to work towards the longer term preventing things in the future. Representative Runbeck has a question, then Representative Kleinborn, and if we can get it in before 4:30, Commissioner Olson will do the best he can answering Representative Poppy's question. So Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and maybe this is of Mr. Olson. So I thought I heard Dr. Melender say that and others referred to it that but for this approval from CODA, she was ready to accept the students to do the final teach-outs for their programs. Is that correct? And is that something, if that can be sped up and happen quickly, would they be ready to go?
Commissioner Olson, is that a question to Commissioner Olson?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative. That is my understanding. Unfortunately, you know, we don't have exact authority over accrediting bodies like CODA or others, and so all we can do, like I had mentioned initially in my kind of opening testimony, is to help broker those relationships, to lean on these accrediting institutions or these accrediting bodies to provide one-time exceptions or to utilize their authority to work in through these unique situations. And so we're doing all we can to help shepherd that along, and have committed to writing letters, to making phone calls, to making sure that the governor's office is aware. But beyond that, we don't have statutory authority to actually force them to accept students, to accept a program, or to accept any credits outside of that agreement.
Madam Chair, I just wonder if the legislature passed legislation, you know, requiring it, for example. I mean, the students have met all the requirements of Minnesota. I mean, there's something we must be able to write, and the governor can make this happen as well. Wouldn't that?
That would be perfect. Yeah, like, well, let's do it. No, we will definitely look into whatever we can.
Time is wasting, so
right,
I don't
exactly.
know what can happen quickly, but I hope somebody can write a plan.
Okay, so I'm going to have Representative Poppy help me facilitate here. Would you like me to call in two other members if they have, like, comments? Otherwise, should we just move into answering the question that you asked originally? I'm going to okay. So we're going to do that, and we had two other members, and if we can have time for their questions or comments, we'll let them. But if you could, do you remember what the question was, Representative Poppy had? It's been a while.
I believe so, and I may need to phone a friend from the Office of Higher Education for that specific answer. And while my colleague is going to join me here, just to wrap up with Representative Lean's comments and Representative Runbeck's comments, we are proposing some legislation. We understand we're beyond deadlines here in the legislature, but there is some opportunity for some immediate financial relief for students, so we're looking at that. But in the interim, looking at a much more comprehensive package, working closely with our financial aid administrators in the Office of Higher Education, our managers, as well as those at the campus level, the professionals there and faculty, to really put some strong pieces in place, protect consumer protection components, as well as, you know, additional bond language protection for taxpayer dollars, protection for our processes, and additional authorities that I think are necessary for us to better oversee how the accreditation process works and our licensing and registration process works here with our authorities. And so more to come there for a more comprehensive look, but we're going to do what we can in the immediate here.
Okay, thank you. Representative, I think you answered our question well. So, really? Or did you get it? Did you press the copy? Do you want the phone of the friend?
I believe the person that came to the table is going to answer that question.
Go ahead.
I'm Kate McCartan. I'm with the Licensing and Registration Unit with the Minnesota Office of Higher Education. I think you had a question whether WASC could approve and certify the completion of those degree programs. I believe the issue is the dental hygiene students still have 100 hours remaining. And so they weren't technically complete with their program, and that was the delay in terms of their ability to certify those degree programs.
Representative Poppy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, you know, I know we're trying to come up with a fix and CODA is part of it and whatever, but if we're looking at, and if there's any money available, I mean, maybe we could pay these teachers to be able to do these final 100 hours of clinical supervision so that these students who are 35 or however many their students are, that they could do that before May 12th, and then they would have reached their conclusion.
Madam Chairwoman, I believe the issue is that there is no one currently in place, and it's specific to CODA regulations as well, that they would have to sign off, similar to their conversation with Century College. They require that they have an advanced placement review set up and approved. The last communication our office had with CODA was that they hadn't received that, and that was, from their perspective, what the delay currently is.
Okay, thank you. We are going to wrap up our committee today.
It's really
quick. Okay, you're begging worked. Okay, Representative.
I'm just begging.
Representative Cleavorn.
Okay, well, my question is, and maybe this is just something for Commissioner Olson to take with him as he goes today, because we heard both Courtney Ruckheim talk about her withdrawal, if you will. These are duress withdrawals. They're not voluntary. I'm stuck in this spot because of someone else's bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to look at legislation or something that we could do to invalidate those withdrawals,
mm-hmm.
even for the school that had previously closed under the same duress, the students who were forced to take those withdrawals so that their loans could be forgiven.
Okay.
And to that, I would suggest that the legislature volunteer for a clinic so that these people could have their 100 hours and patience to work on.
And then, Representative Gomez, we have 30 seconds, so it can't probably be a question. Is it a comment? And since you didn't beg, I want to reward that.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a quick comment.
You have 30 seconds.
Okay, I just want to say that, you know, when the state of Minnesota gives loans and grants to students who are attending an institution, we're sending a message to them about the institution. And that we have, and that the state of Minnesota has faith in the accreditation, in the education that they are receiving. And in my opinion, I mean, I know that, to your point, you don't have authority over accreditation, but you do have the authority to establish standards for the way that we're investing public dollars in higher education. And since 2015, there have been 7 for-profit colleges and universities that have folded in the state of Minnesota. We heard from a bunch of students today who've been to Argosy, but also someone who was at the Minnesota School of Business. You know, Art Institutes International of Minnesota, I know people who went there, Brown College, ITT Tech. I mean, these are predatory institutions who are making money and making money off of people's desire to make something better out of their lives. And so I'm really interested in us interrogating why are we putting public dollars into for-profit colleges and universities when we've seen over and over around this country that they have not fulfilled their obligations to students. And we need to have a really serious conversation about this and about the role of these predatory for-profit institutions in higher education.
Okay, so with that, thank you all for coming today and testifying. It was very helpful as we come up with legislation that will help you attain your degrees, and appreciate the work the Office of Higher Education is working on this. And as we we'll work together, and we'll be back after the after our session break to have another hearing regarding the emergency legislation. And then our committee administrator has something to add.
So I know we had talked about gathering information for students. I think the best we can do right now, we do have on our committee website, you can sign up for our listserv when we do have another hearing, and it sounds like we are going to be having another hearing on Argosy with legislation. That will that information will go to you. So you can sign up on the website. It's it updates you with any meetings that we are having and any more information that we have on our webpage. So and I can stick around and help people get signed up for that if you would like.
Okay. Thank you. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.